We have a quorum. Let me adjust my screen so I can see everybody. Okay, should we start, everybody? So we'll start off with the call of meeting to order. Roll call. We go around. Who's here?
Meg Allman here.
Lisa. James Wilkie here. Darren Dunkel.
Are you here, Sue?
Oh, yeah, I thought I said so. Okay.
Okay. Is that everyone? Carl Hoagland? Now, what I'm going to do with the approval of the agenda, if somebody wants to table an item or delete an item, when we get to it, you can move that. That way we won't actually have to go through the approval at this point. We'll do it later. So first off, we have the approval of the minutes, the February 16th minutes, and you received all of these. They were at the bottom of the screen. Any comments on the first, the February 16th minutes?
Yeah. There was one thing that was inaccurate. It's not a huge important thing, but it should be accurate. It said that I said that there were tree limbs in the river. I didn't say tree limbs. I said there's a mattress in the river, and it's still there. It's right across. It's like right near Drexel and is that Mona Avenue? It's way down there. It's about to fall into the river. Needs to be removed.
Okay.
I couldn't see it. I don't know, but it's still there.
We'll make that correction.
Thank you.
Any other corrections or additions? Hearing none, I'll ask for approval of the minutes with the correction of changing the tree limbs to the mattress.
I'll move.
Second?
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, the same sound. Same negative, the nay sound. Okay, minutes are approved. Now the second set of minutes, the special meeting we had on March 2nd. You have those. Are there any corrections or addition to those minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Well, we have to ask for a motion to approve the minutes. Excuse me.
I'll move to approve.
Okay. Moved and seconded?
I'll second, or Jay will, one of us.
Okay. Any more discussion on those minutes?
I'll be clear on the question now. It's any person, whether it's a school.
I think that's background noise, as I recall.
Yeah, I think that's
all. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Approved unanimously. Darren, my understanding is we don't have any citizen participation. Is that correct?
You are correct.
Okay, we'll move on to the department report, which is long and interesting.
You have the report in your packet. I have a few items that I want to highlight, and then if anybody has any questions, I'll be glad to answer. One of the first things I want to highlight, personnel, where we're at on personnel. Right now, we have about 21 positions that we need to fill in the next probably month and a half.
Those are full-time positions. The other 16 are part-time positions. Now, these involve the golf course, Centennial Commons, and the Heeman Park Pool. Right now, where we're at, as you may recall, about this time or a little bit after this time last year with COVID, that we furloughed some employees and laid off employees. Two of those furloughed employees, our two rec supervisors, are now back with us right now. They came back within the past couple of weeks. Our deputy director position, which was the old parks maintenance superintendent position, we have advertised that position. We are in the interview process, and right now we're hoping by the end of the month that we'll have an offer and be on getting someone on board. The golf manager, with the resignation of our golf manager, we also have advertised that position, evaluated, and we're currently interviewing candidates for that position. And the same, we're hoping to have something out by the end of this month. Parks crew leader is another position that we had a resignation in, and we have advertised and are evaluating and interviewing candidates for that position, and hopefully by the end of the month, filled. We have a recreation supervisor position that's open. This is one of the positions that was originally furloughed, and that individual has since found other employment. So we have currently advertised that position, and staff is evaluating the candidates right now. We're also part-time positions. We're looking for a golf course, golf shop supervisor. We're reviewing candidates right now and evaluating them. Same way with golf course attendants. The attendants are the ones that work inside the clubhouse on a part-time basis. And we're also currently evaluating applicants for Centennial Commons part-time staff, as well as Heeman Park pool staff. So that's where we're at this time. We're getting quite a few candidates applying for the full-time jobs, but not as much on the part-time jobs. And some of the part-time jobs, which we have even contacted for interviews, we're not getting callbacks, or some cases they're not even showing up for an interview. So,
Darren, can I ask on that?
I got a question too.
The golf manager, do you have any candidates that are qualified PGA certified?
Yes.
We do.
Yes, we do.
So, okay. And the other thing is, I noticed that it's Heeman Park pool staff. Is that, are we still going to, we hired a company to manage that. Are we going to do that again, or are we getting?
Yes, the staff that I'm talking about that we're looking for would be the cashiers and concessions, if we open up cash concessions. The contract covers all lifeguards, managers, maintenance staff. So,
okay, and is that the same company that we've had in the past?
There's been a couple of companies in the past, and this is one of them. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, can I ask what's the differentiation, or what's the difference between a golf manager and a golf shop supervisor?
Golf manager is a full-time position. Shop supervisor is a part-time position with lesser responsibilities.
Does the golf manager, is he over the golf course mowing and everything else also?
No, that is the golf superintendent that's on the maintenance side of operations.
So that's the golf superintendent.
Yeah, we're not looking if we already have a person in that position.
Ken is the golf superintendent, right?
Yes, Ken is our golf superintendent.
Have we had golf shop supervisors and golf shop managers, both of them?
Golf shop manager, we've always had. That's the position that Doug was in. Shop supervisor has been a position that's been on our rolls for a long time. However, that hasn't been filled in a long time.
And it's part time.
Yes.
And what does that person do?
They assist the golf manager in supervising the pro shop as well as the driving range.
Okay, and we haven't had that person. That's a new one. Yeah,
we haven't had that position, and a person in that position, I should say, for a long time.
Okay.
So go ahead. Any other questions on personnel for we move on to capital improvements?
We got a couple of questions here, Carl. So Jay, Lisa.
I'm sorry, I can't get the whole group on view, so you'll have to speak up. James?
Jay, why don't you go first? You had your hand up.
Yeah, mine's for capital improvement, so I'll hold on.
Okay. Did you have something on personnel, Lisa?
Yeah, sort of. I've been wondering, we're talking about reopening Centennial Commons and stuff like that, and that's why we need to hire these people. Is the reopening going to be based on solely on like the county recommendations, or is it going to be based on testing positivity rate or on anything?
If you can hold off on that, that's further down in my report. If it's not addressed.
That's fine. Well, I have a related question that relates to personnel, so I was going to ask you that. Is there any chance that the people that we're hiring for for the city to do things where they're working with the public, like working in Centennial Commons, are going to be given any kind of priority or any opportunity through the city to get vaccinated?
Right now, the city does not provide vaccination as such. There is a company that we have worked through, like everybody else, that you have to sign up and get on their list. That's still, they go based on the priorities that the state and the county has set up.
I just know like that some school districts have, you know, ahead of time, knowing teachers were going to be eligible, they set up, you know, a day when their teachers could get vaccinated and things like that. So I'm wondering if we can do something like that for our personnel that are going to be working with people in the public.
We haven't been able to do that just for our full-time staff. Not just a mass day. There is several companies out there that we can put our name on our list, and based on our positions and other factors that they can.
So you've done that? You've put us on the list as a city?
I have been vaccinated.
No, I'm asking if that's something that's been done. You said we could. Are we doing it? Are we getting ourselves on that list?
We are on the list, but it's not mandatory. Those employees who want to put themselves on the list are able to put themselves on the list.
That's not what I meant. I meant as a group.
As a group, the city has submitted in, but we're not doing group vaccinations. We're just thrown in with the regular population at these locations to get in.
Okay. I just wonder. Thank you.
And if I could,
go ahead.
So there's three different rec supervisor positions on the list.
Yes.
The rec supervisor for programs and special events. What's different about that versus the rec supervisor for sports, health, and fitness?
Basically, this is pretty similar to how it's been set up in the past. Programs and special events. Basically, that position handles like general programs such as your senior programs, kids programs that are not related to sports or health or fitness, those type of events, where the recreation supervisor for sports, health, and fitness will oversee fitness-related programs as they've done in the past. And we have run, you know, a basketball program in the past. We've done Redbird Rookies in the past and different things like that. We anticipate that this position, once they're on board and all that kind of stuff, would be handling those duties, like sports camps, clinics, leagues, as we move forward.
Okay. I mean, is that a new position? I was not aware that there was a separate rec coordinator. No. I thought one person do all of that before.
No. It's been many things over many years, basically. We've done, this position here, you go back a year ago, sports was not part of it. Sports was just whoever we had available and we could try to do it. We did it because of the lack of staffing and those sort of things. But once we contracted out the pool facility, that freed up a little bit here so that we could add sports to, this was the same person who did that. So we thought that we reorganized our department and streamlined some responsibilities on that. But these positions have always existed in some way, shape, or form. Their individual responsibilities might vary a little bit.
And that looks like that's
your question.
Person who is, no, that answers it. This looks like it's a person that is in the, it's a position that is in the interview process at the moment. Is that right?
We haven't started interviews. We've had quite a few applications, and the recreation staff are currently reviewing the applications. and then they'll narrow it down to a certain amount that they will bring in and interview and go through that process. So, you know, looks like that we have some good viable candidates, and it'll take, you know, several weeks to get, you know, through this interviewing process and to an offer. But yes, we are actively pursuing this position.
Great. I'll come back to some of my concerns just when we get to the Redbird Rookies. It's later on the agenda.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I will just, Jay, do you have a question?
Not until capital improvements.
Okay. I would just say, Darren, I am glad to see that we're expanding recreation, because we really haven't had the strength of a program that we need in the past. And the more we can do to strengthen that, the better. So I assume there's a new position there. Is that correct, as I understand it?
No, it's not a new position. It was an existing position. It's just a vacant position, and we're changing some of the duties, but the future will tell us how many programs, and we can get into that as we get into another item on the agenda, but we can talk about programs and other things at that point.
Okay. Are there any? Yes, go ahead, Sue.
Down the road, can we get an organization chart and maybe names attached to it, but at least an organization chart with all these positions listed on it, a chart, not the verbal part?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
I can supply an org chart now that doesn't have names to it, but it just has positions and those sort of things. As we get people on board and stuff, I can have names attached to those positions.
Yeah, I'd like to just see the overall chart for the Parks and Rec Department, personally.
Okay. Any other questions? Go ahead, Darren.
Moving on to grant projects, as you are aware that, go ahead.
Sorry, Jay had a question about capital improvements. I don't know if you meant to skip
over that. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to skip over that.
Just on the Heeman Park pool repainting, it goes across multiple items in the report, but will the painting of the pool be necessary before the pool can operate this summer? The way the report reads, it looks like it's not necessary. Okay.
No. Originally, this was budgeted for this year, and we were hoping to do it in the fall, but due to some budget constraints, we weren't able to do that. So what we're going to do now is that we're just going to do some patchwork and some spot painting in those patches. And once the season is over going into the next fall, this will be a rollover item in the budget, and then we'll get the pool painted then, because, you know, due to the weather in the spring and a lot of rain, and that paint has to cure so long before you can put water on it, it's kind of dicey trying to do it right now. So that's why we're gonna roll it over and try to get it done after this pool season.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now moving into the grant projects. As you are aware that we applied for last year and received a grant through the Municipal Parks Grant Commission for the redevelopment of Ackert Park. We've started working on that project with our consultant. We're right now at 75% drawings for Ackert Park, and some submittals have been sent to MSD for their review process on that. So it shouldn't take that much longer once we receive MSD feedback that we can come back with 100% drawings and go out the bid very soon. So once we go out the bid, give it a month or so after that, and hopefully by May is what I'm hoping for, that we can have construction and have things moving at Ackert Park.
Have we ever considered doing any internet parks, like especially in that area, picnic tables, internet reception, like other cities have done, since it's heavy on college? And
yeah, we don't have the internet, the Wi-Fi, I guess, capabilities at times, the infrastructure for that and certain things. That is something that has been thought about, and some people have asked. It'd be probably more feasible at some point at Heeman Park, because we have buildings and facilities there that we can do that more than we could remote locations. But I know I've dealt with that with another city, and it's somewhat of an undertaking to do to a degree. And I'm not an IT specialist, but that is something that we can look at as we move forward. Most definitely.
Would it be would it be something I read somewhere about somebody working with WashU? Would that be a project for them to set up Internet Park? I mean, they say they want a coordinator. I read somewhere. I can't remember where.
Yeah, they want to coordinate some projects. So that is always something that can be considered.
Could be on the list.
I was just thinking that when you said that, Sue. I was just thinking that would be great for them to do when you said that.
Well, it gives you activity and it gives you security in a park. Mm-hmm. And there's other cities that have done that and come out, crime and everything is lower. When you're bringing in other people to, say, sit at a picnic table with their computer or, you know, with their internet connections. And you'd think it'd be a prime project to get in with WashU.
Yeah. That is something that can be considered, yes. The next item I had is...
Before you get off of that, the grants will be coming up in a number of months. Are we doing any planning for the next grant?
Not at this time until you tell the commission reviews if we're going to do anything with Greensfelder Park or not.
Is Greensfelder the only option that you see?
It's the only option that we're prepared for, that any conceptual work or anything has been done at this time.
But aren't there grants at two levels? One is the larger grant that which you're talking about, and then the other, the planning grants.
Yeah, there is a planning grant. As part of the planning grant, they will match. It's pretty much like an 80-20 split that they will pay up to $6,400, and that is to hire a consultant to do conceptual planning, that type of work, which we have used in the past. We use it for Greensfelder Park, for example. I believe it was used for Fogarty Park and maybe Majerus. That was before my time. I'm not for sure. But yes, this planning grant, what they like you to do is apply for a planning grant, get your homework done, get some cost estimates, approve some conceptual design, and you use that information to apply for a construction grant. Not saying that you have a planning grant to do that, but it is a great helpful tool to get you prepared for your construction grant. And we have done that for Greensfelder Park. And I know there's some further discussion on that, but we haven't moved forward with any other parks at this time with that.
I would just hate to see us pass up not applying for some of those grants. And my assumption is the grant are due in September.
They're due at the end of August.
End of August, yeah, okay.
That's when they're usually, they haven't set the timetable this for this next year, but that's usually they're due like the last Friday in August.
So if we were gonna do a planning grant, what planning grant would, from your point of view, would we do?
One, I'd have to review all of our projects because it's on a point system. You have to look at where you think you're going to get some points. We also have to look at what our needs are and the scope of that whole project. That is something I can look at and bring something back possibly to the next meeting of some possibilities, because I know August seems far away, but from a planning, cost estimating, and all that kind of stuff, it's going to take some time to try to pull that off.
Well, let me ask this. The commission tabled Greensfelder until the beginning of fiscal year. Beginning of fiscal year is July 1, is that correct?
That is correct.
So my question is, if assuming Greensfelder comes off the planning grant July 1, is there in fact time to submit a grant, a large grant for Greensfelder?
Yeah, we have all the stuff ready, pretty much ready to go to apply for a grant from Greensfelder. But like I said, we're not prepared as we sit today for any other project at this time.
Well, I just want us to think ahead so that we don't pass up those wonderful grants. I mean, it's a lot of money, and do things that any city, specifically you city, would have trouble doing on their own. So that would be good if at the next meeting we could look at those, you know, what your ideas are for the planning grant and then the timing for the next one, the large one.
Carl, if I can interject just a question, because I haven't been on the commission that long. there seem to be a number of master plans going back to the Heman Park master plan from several years ago, many of which seem to have gotten as far as the Greensfelder plans have gotten. Is there a reason that those never got the grant application that the city seems to be pushing for Greensfelder?
Talking about Heman Park in particular, we're waiting on some other factors before we move forward, and that's why we have that on our priority list for 2024. Also, the Heman Park master plan, in my opinion, is somewhat unrealistic. That was done that from a cost standpoint to a certain degree, as well as they didn't take in consideration some restrictions from a federal grant that we had previously received, that we can't do some of those things. So that needs to be revisited before we try to move forward with anything for Heman Park.
But I mean, other than Ackard Park, which we've actually gotten grant money for, I thought there were still another three or four projects that has gotten as far as Greensfelder that either we applied for grants and didn't get them, or I just don't know the backstory for those. Do you know?
No, from my understanding, talking with staff, that they did look at a phase three for Fogarty Park, but it's my understanding that was put on hold based on need, and part of that, I can go back and look at it and give you more information, but my understanding was that adding a large parking lot, extending the parking lot that's up front for Fogarty for parking, you know, for the baseball field, and they wanted to add another pavilion there, but it was my opinion, it was brought back and said that wasn't needed at this time, that was a back burner thing. And that field is basically not the soccer field, but the baseball field is mainly being used for practices. And we're trying to focus games and stuff as we move forward and improve the fields at Heman. And I can look, but I haven't seen any drawings or anything like that on that, but I can go back and do further research. I was just told that was kind of pie in the sky and it was pushed off to the side.
Okay. I mean, I think a number of those are on the city's website. I know a lot of the master plan type stuff is, but beyond that, if there's more specific drawings that are out there, I just don't know.
Right.
Okay. I'm just curious because it seems like there's this push for this one park that.
And if I can find more information on that, I can bring it to the Parks Commission meeting at the next one.
Okay. Thanks, Carl.
But I haven't heard from anyone any push to move forward on any of on that, but I can bring any information back. I guess moving forward on the reopening Centennial Commons and Heman Park Pool, as I believe I've stated in the past, that staff has been given the direction to look at the opening of both of those facilities this spring. We do not have a set timetable right now. There's a set date of opening. All this is staff dependent, more so than COVID requirements. We're well aware of what the COVID requirements are at this point in time. Now, that might change again next week, next month, who knows what the county will do with the requirements, but we do understand the COVID requirements and we're currently working on what we have to do internally for us to guidelines, which means that we will have to move some of the machines to get the spacing and just a few other minor things that we're looking to do. But the biggest thing in opening both of these facilities is going to be staffing. As I mentioned earlier, in this report, we have quite a bit of staff that we need to hire. And if they're new staff, get them trained, not just on the COVID protocols, but get them trained on our computer software, those sort of things. And how much we open the facility is also going to depend on the number of staffing and what areas we can open. Right now that we, in our projections, we are looking at opening the fitness center and the track first. And then as we are able to gain more staff and that kind of stuff, we can start opening up other areas of Centennial Commons at the same time.
Is the fitness area socially distanced? The equipment?
It will be.
It will be, okay, because I don't think it is now.
Yeah, there's some pieces that are already that meet the requirements, but we do have to move and reconfigure a few other pieces so that we can be social distance. And again, that's something that's not a huge task for us, but we're afraid to move everything right this second if the county guidelines could change possibly in the next month or so as we move a little closer. But yes, we have all taken that into consideration, and we are prepared to make those changes as necessary.
Is anything, go ahead, Sue.
No, even without the social distance, it's my opinion, having worked on a wide new facility back east, equipment's too close together. It's harder to maintain and clean the current situation. Just from experience back east, that's all.
I was just gonna ask, was ventilation anything that they were telling you to look at? And is the ventilation in the building within the guidelines?
It's within the guidelines. We, like everybody, we look at our operation, look at future capital and whatever grants that we can get to improve the efficiency of our ventilation as well as the filtration of that. I can tell you nothing has changed with our filtration at this point, but we are looking at that to see what the possibilities are as we've moved down the road.
So it's already, it was already good enough for what the CDC is saying we need for COVID?
Yeah, but there's always things that you can do better. We are looking at those options as well.
Darren, I think you answered this question in an email to me. Is there, in fact, a reopening plan that has now actually been submitted to council?
Yes, basically, staff probably over a month or so ago now that we put some scenarios together based on looking at what we thought staffing-wise and looking at what other cities has done, you know, when they reopened. And we kind of put some scenarios together based on that, but it's nothing written in stone because, one, it's going to depend on our staffing at the time, then two, it's also going to depend on what the county's COVID guidelines. And yes, some of that information did go to council. It was just, hey, this is what it could look like. And I understand some people have looked at it and said, no, we need to change this, this, and that. Well, it wasn't set in stone to begin with. This was just a snapshot of what we thought based on the information that we knew at that time and looking at staffing and how we could possibly reopen. I am hoping here within the next month that we will have a better outlook at that based on our staffing numbers, as well as if the county is looking to make any changes, which I keep hearing behind the scenes that the county is possibly going to be making some changes to some of the guidelines. So maybe by our next meeting, I'll be able to present something that's a little more clear to the committee on a proposed opening plan. But what we have had done before was, you know, basically just a scenario of where we thought we were about a month and a half ago.
Darren, are there any St. Louis County rec centers that are open?
That aren't open?
That are open.
Most of them are open.
Most of them in the county are open.
The only other facility that I'm aware of, and I'm still not for sure, I haven't checked lately, is the city of Arnold did shut their rec center down. I don't know if they've reopened yet. But in St. Louis County, my understanding that all of them are open at some capacity. I don't know any of them that are open at full capacity. All of them are still limited because a lot of them did lay off part-time staff and they're still working reduced hours. And then there's the COVID regulations. But one thing to be careful, because I hear people all the time, well, why aren't we open? Clayton's open, Richmond Heights, all these open. Well, everybody has chosen a different path. There wasn't a playbook for COVID and how to deal with COVID. Every city's finances are different and their priorities are different. Just for an example, Richmond Heights put a more of a priority of keeping their rec center open, even though they had some reduced staff, as I understand, on the part-time. But on their parks maintenance side, they furloughed about 75% of their staff there. I know other cities have chosen the furlough staff, cut services, leaf pickup, lay off police officers. I know the city of Florissant cut down to, I believe, like a 24 or 28-hour work week for all staff members. So everyone has chosen a different path. Our city, right, wrong, or indifferent, chose the path that we did lay off and furlough some employees and delayed opening Centennial Commons. You know, and our COVID rates in our area, from what I understand, a little higher than what other areas. So different decisions were made. And regardless of that, this is where we are today, and we're looking to reopen and get staff so that we can.
Okay.
Moving on, baseball, softball leagues. We know at our last meeting on March 2nd, we talked about a lot of the leagues, those sort of things. Council made a decision at their council meeting that it's given people the option to provide insurance or provide waivers. We're looking at insurance at $1 million. If they can provide $1 million insurance, or if they can't, they can do the waivers, and this is for this year, and then we'll come back and reevaluate the needs of future years. And my deputy director of recreation is working with those organizations, trying to get through that process and trying to get everything lined out. Things that some people don't understand, and it didn't have anything to do with the liability waivers or the insurance, is about the COVID plan. This is something that St. Louis County has told us that we have to have a COVID plan for any organization doing organized sports. It doesn't have to be a complicated plan. We require what the county requires is a few things, and we can help those organizations out because we do have some examples from some other groups who have used it, and we be able to provide and walk people through that. So we are working on that process now so that they can get out on the fields. The school district has turned in everything they need. They're good to go as once the, you know, the rain has stopped and the fields dry out. I think we're ready to go on that aspect of it. Talking about athletic fields, my staff, when it was dry, was out working on the baseball fields, trying to get them ready. We will get back out there again as they dry out. Playgrounds. So we've had some reports on some different things with playgrounds. Just so that you guys know, if you're asked, because I've seen several emails, people complaining, why aren't our playgrounds open? All of our playgrounds, with the exception of Kingsland and Kaufman, have been open since September 14th to the public. I understand that there are some schools that abut a couple of our parks, and I believe it might be a school policy that they're not allowing kids to play on the playgrounds, but it is not the city's policy. The playgrounds are open to the public for use, like I said, with the exception of Kingsland and Kaufman, and they have to do with surfacing issues, which we are looking to get those two parks, as well as Mooney Park, resurfaced here this spring. Just the golf course operations, as I have in my report, the rounds are up quite a bit for the month of February compared to last February. So our driving range numbers and our overall rounds for the year, and our revenue is up by about $130,000 over the same period last year. And this is even all with COVID. So the golf course from that part of the operations is doing very well. Also with the golf course, we have gone out to bid, awarded a bid for the overlay of the parking lot. We have met with the contractor, and right now it looks like possibly the last week of this month is what we're shooting for. If we can do it a little earlier, we will try, but it's all going to be some weather dependent on that. So basically, we'll be shutting down the parking lot anywhere from 3 days to a week to get in and mill some areas, overlay it, restripe it, and then open it up to the public. Those were the items that I wanted to highlight. If anybody else has any other questions, I'll be happy to answer.
I saw somewhere about the netting. Is that contract been let for the netting?
That project is done.
Wow, I haven't played golf out there.
Well, Carl, it's not like you haven't been asked.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry about that.
It was a hot day.
I'm playing there tomorrow.
On the netting, if you want to ask, are they doing the bottom 4 foot section, Darren, or it was just the netting on the driving range?
They did certain repairs on the netting on the driving range. Our in-house staff has some extra netting, and we'll be going around and repairing other areas on the course as we can. And Sue, you brought it up last time about the lookout tower. Been repairing and rebuilding that, so hopefully here shortly that will be reopened.
Well, the 4x4s are in great shape. I was out looking at them the other day, so it's just getting the top part. And on the netting, they did a good job. I mean, I was there when they did most of it. You know, they took out the two trees. They closed the gap, Carl. I know you're aware of it.
Yeah.
Going down the seventh hole before you take your right turn, you go to eight. That gap has now been closed with netting. They put in new poles there.
Yeah.
And the guys are real good at spotting your ball when it came that way. So they were, you know, they were very hospitable to people playing. The guys were good. They watched out for themselves. I thought they did a pretty, you know, decent job. Quality of way up high on the net, I don't know. Yeah. But they sure had a good time going up and doing it and making little jokes with the golfers.
Well, I'm playing at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, so I'll get a look at it. That's great.
Yeah, I wasn't invited.
Sorry about that. Okay. We've got the council liaison report. Steve?
I think Darren covered our actions on council that related specifically to parks. So hopefully that helped get some of those folks onto the ball fields this year. And I think Darren was exactly right. That's something that's going to be revisited to make sure it's efficient and it works. And also I think with the programming, if we can get sponsored teams back and get that, I think that alleviates some of the problems. And I think everybody on council is all on board with moving in that direction, so it wasn't something that we'd let sit, and hopefully it's gonna, we can get through this season and then see what we can do to make it even better moving forward. Thanks for all the work you guys did and all the residents that let us know what's going on so that we didn't leave them in a lurch. The big news on council was our special meeting last night, and Costco's moving forward, so we voted on some things, and that's in made some big steps, so we're hopefully get even bigger news as we go forward on that. And my only question on parks is, when will the Carl Hoagland trout stream be put through any of our parks in U City? That would be wonderful.
Anyway. I don't think everybody knows, Steve.
That's an inside joke. That's why I I couldn't put the picture up and share my screen.
It wasn't your screen wasn't big enough. I caught a 6-pound trout. That's what he's talking about.
Okay, you know, you can buy that trout at the open market every other week. Instead of having all that trouble, they're selling good fresh trout down at the market.
Right, right. I'm sure. That's good. Okay. Any questions about the council liaison report? Now, commission members, park inspections. Who would like to begin?
I can do golf.
Go ahead.
Since we started, kind of. We already went through the netting, not a big deal. For consideration would be, as things loosen up, plus it's mostly seniors that are probably vaccinated now over at Ruth, I continue to see the one person in a cart abuse. I see guys standing arm in arm on the first tee, then they all get in their own cart and take off, none of them with masks. I don't know if we should be enforcing it or what, but that's just, when COVID breaks, I think we need to, because it's revenue, we need to take a look and see what's, you know, what's going on with the card issue at Ruth Park. Talked about that. Kauffman Park seems to be good, seems to be clean. And I already asked about the netting, so that's about it. Carl, for your court, I went 3:30 on Wednesday. There is a lady for pay teaching lessons. I was there with my granddaughter. We were going to play tennis after her schooling at Flynn. And there was a lady, a regular instructor lady with a single playing there. I mean, we left, went over to Kauffman because you couldn't get on a court. It was too busy. People were waiting. This is 3:30 on a Wednesday. I don't know who's going to enforce the permit rule, but this was definitely a professional instructor there.
Just which park was this? I'm sorry.
Flynn. You know,
I saw a policeman go by. I don't know who says anything about permits, who asked for permits, but it all appearances, and I didn't go up and ask her. Of course, she was bigger than I was and had a racket. It looked like for play. She had the equipment. I saw the girl pack up and leave on a 3:30 note. I figured she was probably teaching for money.
I'll tell you, that is an issue. I'm not sure how that gets solved. But I think the bigger issue is we need some kind of a system whereby people can know when they get on the court, because there's no system and there's people waiting at both ends. There's a problem with the court in that there's two entrances. But I would think that there could be some kind of system where you hang up a racket and then the person with the racket is in position number one is the next player, or we have drop balls or something in a container. Sue has talked about that.
Yeah, we're currently working on that, Carl.
Yeah, it's going to, by the summer, it's going to be, yeah. You know, it's really going to be something.
And the one way one lady was doing it is she was waiting, apparently, because I waited there because we were going to play. She hits against the backboard on one of the courts to hold the court.
Well, you see, that backboard, if you hit the backboard, that's your court, even though you're one person on it, at least the way that it works. Now, maybe we need to let people know that so that happens. But I really think that by the time we get into this warmer days, which is, it's here to some extent, we need an absolute thing. And I don't know how close you are on that, Darren, but I'd like to see that as implemented as quickly as possible.
Yeah. We're working on that. And on lessons and that kind of stuff, an ordinance is being brought forward to city council, probably not this next meeting, but the following meeting for council, hopefully to approve the ordinance on outside groups giving lessons, clinics, camps and stuff without permits, those sort of things. So that will give us some teeth on enforcement.
So, Darren, do you think that it's realistic within the next month or so to have some kind of system where people get in line, sign up, whatever the system is?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, that's good. The other thing I noticed is that there is now a sign on the tennis court offering tennis lessons. Hmm. And the address is U City, so it must be the recreation department that's doing that.
It's not us. I will go out there and take a look and find out and have a discussion with them if that's what
it's a pretty formidable sign, and the wire on it is very thick. I thought it looked like it was an official U City one.
No, people aren't allowed to post stuff, so we will address that.
It's on the it would be on the west side of the tennis court. So you might want to take a look at it. I don't know who it is. It has a U City address on it.
But Mark Platt, is it?
I'm not sure who it is. And it's for young children to sign up for tennis lessons.
All right. We'll take a look at it.
But if you could get that, and maybe next week, just give us an indication of kind of what you guys are thinking. Because I think there are probably a lot of options. I've thought of some of them, but I'm not going to go into them now. But I think there needs to be some kind of system that where people sign up so that they can do that. By the way, I will say this: the park is in fabulous shape. They keep I know that this winter they've cut down some trees. That pavilion looks good. The playground, I think it's to some extent supervised by teachers, but the playground is in great shape. I mean, the park is really in great shape, and Fogarty is in great shape. It's not a very used park, but it's there.
I think Flynn Park is not using the public playground, is my understanding, because of transmission, some other things, at least according to my 6-year-old granddaughter, that they do not use the public park.
Is that right? Well, but I don't know who monitors and keeps it clean. But boy, maybe it's the park staff. No. But it's
staff goes out and disinfects 3 times a week.
Yeah, it's in great shape. Other reports?
I think James had something.
So I had two. One is about Mooney Park. The hillside is actually getting worse, if you can imagine. I mean, for a long time, because of the way that the park is sloped, it has some amount of erosion. That erosion does seem to be increasing, not only around the retaining wall around the playground, which probably isn't structural yet, but we'll get to that point eventually and probably does need to be addressed. Okay. But the rest of the hillside, there's just some areas that are beginning to sink. Best guess is it's related to tree roots and, you know, sinkholes that sort of develop around those. But it's something that would be worth taking a look at. And if there's any way to remediate it inexpensively to maybe prevent the washout from getting worse, it's something that should be addressed sooner rather than later is all I'm thinking.
Okay, I'll pass it along to my staff. Thank you.
And then I did do a survey of the baseball fields that I have already shared with Darren in the form of a sort of PowerPoint presentation. Rather than going through that here, if anybody's interested in seeing that, I would be happy to share the Google link that I did with the photographs. There's a number of just sort of punch list items. Mr. Dunkel and I have talked about it. My understanding is that staff is aware of a good number of those and will be addressing them before the upcoming summer season, is at least the hope. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Would you send that to all of the commission members?
Yeah, absolutely. I could do that. I'll do it right after the meeting. And again, if you have a Gmail account, you can access it. Anybody with a link should be able to open it. Anybody can look at it. I've got some of my thoughts about things and ways to also get these things done that may not necessarily involve park staff. We might be able to find volunteers to do some of these projects. We've talked about involving Eagle Scouts as one possibility. The high school has a lot of students, a lot of very interested in students in doing things. And if there's a way to do some real things that don't require a lot of engineering or a carpentry degree, there are things that kids can help with. So I think that there's ways to try and involve the community in some of these upgrades. And I put those on there.
Anyone else?
Lisa, did you want to mention that tree thing over the Ruth Park Woods? Did you get into that at all? Remember the tree planting thing I sent you?
Yeah, but I wasn't sure what it was about.
I can give you a little update on Ruth Park Woods. Right now, I have been approached by UCity and Bloom, as well as the Green Center, about the possibility looking into a grant from the Department of Conservation to do some work at Ruth Woods Park, basically to eradicate all the invasive species that are taking over. Right now, that's just preliminary talk. Once we get a little further down the road, we can bring something forward, and that would have to go on, I believe, to probably the council to decide to move forward on applying for that grant. And right now we're just looking at what part each player could possibly provide for that grant. And so that's still a work in progress right now.
Yeah, there's a nice group of volunteers that are ready to roll, as you're aware, Darren.
Yep.
I think they talked to you about it. So there's a great group of native plant people. And matter of fact, they're planting trees from 15-gallon buckets, put me out of the help. But yeah, and the other day when I was playing golf the other week, apparently Brittany Woods is using the facility. They are using the worst part of the path, because there was about 15, 20 of them walking single file down through it the other day. So it is being used by the school.
That's good. Any other park inspection reports?
I just got over to Miller Park a couple days ago, and it looks really good. I had nothing to complain about, so it's looking great. And it's used a lot.
It is. The walking path, and people are always on that.
Yeah.
Carl, I did have one report on Lewis Park, too. Hopefully this will be quick. Those honeysuckles that run parallel to Del Mar, so that little area, that little field, we're not going to have a field in about 2 years, just best guess. The honeysuckle has taken over, and it is encroaching very far. We've talked about volunteers and a volunteer organization trying to take them out. Has there been any movement at all to remedy that particular problem?
We have not been able to line up volunteers, but we've already been removing the honeysuckle at other parks, and this is one of our next lists to get to.
Because it's going to take a lot of trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it Euronymous or honeysuckle?
I don't know. It's the same kind of branching tree-looking plant that all comes out of one stalk at the bottom that's impossible to kill.
It's honeysuckle.
It probably is honeysuckle.
It's honeysuckle. Did you see what the mayor did to his house? Across from your parents' house, James?
No, I didn't see it.
He took out the honeysuckle, and it was unbelievable. There were things that were like trees in there. Anyway.
So people keep bringing up volunteers. Have you ever contacted, or anybody that's been talking about, have you ever contacted the high school about there are kids that need service hours for A+? That would be somebody.
Yeah, that's an idea.
And there was an A+ coordinator that would sign kids up for stuff.
Yeah, we are looking at that, and there's some other groups out there. It's just a matter of coordinating with those groups, and we are looking to work on an adopt-a-park program so that we can either get neighborhoods, schools that abut parks, those sort of things, that people to adopt a park, and so that they could keep extra eyes on it, as well as maybe a little sweat equity to help with the upkeep and take care of some of these things.
That's a great idea.
If there is a group, who should they reach out to in the Parks Department so that they can hopefully learn about what they can do within the parks? Is there a particular point person?
As of right now, that'll be me. Once we get our new deputy director hired, it'll become part of that person's position to take care of the volunteers for all the park type work.
I'll try and share that with the school district contacts I've got, Lisa, if you know some other folks over there too.
Any other comments for park inspections? Next item is unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business? I don't know of any.
We did not have anything for the agenda.
Okay. New business, recreation programs. And that I didn't quite understand that. Sue, you brought that up, and I don't really quite understand exactly. Is it the question about what we're going to do for summer recreation programs?
Have we published basically any summer rec programs? Because I was getting flyers in the mail, and so is my son for his kids. The surrounding communities have already, like the Y's and everything. The high school's even put out summer programs, and I was wondering where we're at in doing that. But I know now we've got the major staffing problem. But
as of right now, that's our issue. We're not looking to really run any programs this spring or at least early summer due to, you know, the timing of bringing staff back, trying to hire staff, focusing our attention on trying to get Centennial Commons and the pool up and running. And right now, with the recent resignations and stuff at the golf course, we're just trying to keep the doors open, the golf course. Like right now, I'm working out at the golf course here and there. My secretary's taking shifts out there. The two furloughed rec supervisors that came back are spending time out there. I have two maintenance workers who have stepped up that's taken a couple of shifts in the pro shop just to keep us going until we can get some people hired. So that's, like I said, all of our focus has been on trying to keep the golf course up and running and trying to fill positions and get plans put together for opening a Centennial Commons and the pool. Once we get those individuals in place, then we will start working on setting up programming for the rest of the year.
I was just curious.
We're at this point.
Flyers. Yeah.
Darren, you put on that agenda a motion by the commission. Did you have a motion in mind that the commission should make?
No, I do not. I wasn't for sure what Sue's intent was or if there was a motion. So that's why it's on there. But no, I do not have it. I'm not aware of any motion that needs to be made at this time.
No, it's just for information, Carl. I just wanted an update.
Right. I understand. You know, as a longtime resident in U City, the parks program has always been very strong, but the recreation has always taken a kind of back seat. And so I hope the hiring of the new people jazzes up the recreation component of that. It really needs to, because UCity has always been kind of behind in terms of recreation.
On that particular topic, Carl, and I think I shared this email with you, I spoke at length with Sue, you mentioned his name earlier, the tennis.
Mark Platt.
Yeah, Mark Platt. And he is interested in coming back. He had taught a free or basically free program for a number of years for UCity youth. And he basically told me he would volunteer to do such a program again at one of the courts or two of the courts and would love to have UCity support in doing that.
Yeah, so, go ahead.
Well, as I say, I basically said, look, you need to get in contact with Darren because he's at the moment the person, then he can get you in contact with the right person. But it's another one of those recreational activities to put on the radar and a volunteer that is willing to give his time to do it, hopefully with minimal city support other than giving him access.
Yeah, I had spoken to Mr. Platt last year. He wanted to do that, and then COVID broke out, so it didn't happen last year. He has sent an email over with some information. We're looking at that. So hopefully here within the next few days, we will be having a conversation about how we can possibly move forward.
Great.
Okay. Next item is the Redbird Rookies.
So this was an item that I asked to put on the agenda. Some of you might be aware, for the last, I think it's about 4 years, University City itself has been the sponsor for a free baseball program that is put together by the St. Louis Cardinals with their charity wing called Cardinals Care. What Redbird Rookies allows us to do is to offer free baseball. It is definitely very much recreational baseball for the youth of UCity, free of charge. And in an era where a lot of our kids are forced to go and play because there are very few rec leagues left, you have to pay a lot of money to go and join teams, even though baseball may be something that is not necessarily that competitive for you. This is a baseball appreciation program. I myself have coached in it for a number of years. Last year, we were unable to provide that because of COVID, and the entire Redbird Rookies program shut down. And that was true. Normandy didn't have one. Herbert Hoover didn't have one. Matthews Dickey, none of the places that typically sponsor teams. So this year, the Cardinals and Cardinals Care have in fact resurrected the program, and UCity is still listed as the sponsor. And so the reason I wanted to put this on the agenda was more than anything just to find out, and I'm afraid I know the answer, which is too bad, but I'm hoping that there is some way that through volunteer efforts like myself and through Kevin Taylor, who has helped with this program for a number of years, if there's any way possible that we can still do Redbird Rookies, again, with a minimum of staff support so that we're not taking your resources away, but have access to the fields, have the kids still sign waivers as part of the registration process, but still actually offer the free program through Cardinals Care. Is that something that the city is considering? Is it something that, because we really have to start getting kids signed up if we're going to start doing it soon?
Basically, the same answer I gave with programs, as right now with the level where we are at staffing, we do not have the staff able to move forward. I know Linda Taylor, my deputy director of recreation, was the one on our staff who has kind of spearheaded that from a staff standpoint over the past several years. And she has indicated to me that there's no way, shape, or form that she'll be able to provide her assistance at that level just due to what we're facing right now in our operations and staffing. Now, I believe, James, you have also asked, could another group do it? Is that correct?
It, before the city took over, it used to be something that was done by the UCity Sports Association. The Sports Association actually had run baseball for a long time. I mean, it's the group I grew up playing in. What happened, as I understand it, is the city was unwilling to provide baseball fields for free to the Sports Association. And part of the Redbird Rookies requirement is that we offer this program for free. And the Sports Association basically said, look, we can't fund baseball by the fees that we collect for football. So we can't have the one program basically piggybacking off the funds that are being paid for this other program. So if an outside organization, say an LLC that I form that is a not-for-profit or a corporation that's a not-for-profit, I don't charge any money, but we basically say we'll do all of the work that Linda had been doing, which is, there is some work that goes into it, but we can do the scheduling. We can do pretty much everything other than say, hey, U City, can we have these fields on these days? Is that a possibility that we could have that type of relationship for, and if I'm on commission and that disqualifies me from doing it, that's fine. Other people might step up and do it. But would that be a possibility? We're basically a separate organization says we could do everything for you.
Carl, were you saying something?
Well, no, I've got one here, the answer first, and then I have a question to James.
I just want to clarify that before I answer what James, so you're asking for some type of partnership? Is that what you're asking with the volunteer group working with the city to provide it? Or are you looking
exactly
at a separate outside organization running it on your own?
That's the thing, is there really is no outside organization. I mean, the Sports Association, because of the way, again, this is before your time, but the way that it was treated by the city, it made it infeasible for them to do. So the city took it over, and Linda took it over, and it worked pretty well. But now, as I understand it, there's just not the staffing. So if we have sort of a steady supply of volunteers that can be the one that actually is contracting with Cardinals Care, but we still have a commitment from the city as a partner to still provide us the fields for free, which was the hang up with the Sports Association, would that be an alternative to still get Redbird Rookies to go?
I don't have the authority to say yes or no. What I'd recommend is to submit a proposal. Okay. And you can submit that to me and we can take it from there and see what can be done.
I will work as quickly as I can to get something like that to you. And again, I just don't know what the process would be, since it is, it's not something where we're looking for money. We're just looking for field access that can still be accommodating for this particular free program the Cardinals put on.
Okay. Yeah. If you would email me something, that'd be the best and quickest way for me to get to it and respond.
Absolutely. Thank you.
The okay. interesting thing about the sports, what were they called? James Sports Authority? Sports. The group that sponsored all the baseball.
Oh, the Sports Association.
Sports Association, yeah. Our kids played in that for years, and we always thought we were playing for U City. I mean, it was so closely associated with the city that that we really thought we were. I would say I don't see any regulation that would not allow you to do that, James, even though you're on the council. I don't see that as a problem now. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see that as an issue. And I mean, when you got a volunteer, put them to work. And I mean, it's pretty well known, this experience that you've had doing that, although you were only a fair soccer player, but you're a much better baseball player.
Your boys were both excellent soccer players, Carl.
No, I'm not saying that. Anyway, I think that's great. So I don't know that we need a motion on that. I mean, I think that if James sends that to you, Darren, then you can report back to us what the status of that is at our next meeting. Maybe we can get something going, because I'd like to see our recreation at least have something happening.
I have a question. This Redbird Rookies, would you include young women to be playing as well? Or is this just all little boys?
No, absolutely not. We've been able to, with the younger grades, it is co-ed. It's actually co-ed all the way through, but you don't have as many young women playing baseball at 11 to 13. So we did last year, well, 2 years ago now, have a softball team that was able to play we had like 17, 18 girls out there. And I kind of wish we had just a few more to make two teams, it would have been even better. But no, it is co-ed. We offer it to anybody who comes who wants to play.
And go ahead.
Speaking of partnership, if you're looking for funding, Have you reached out to the Urban League or the Matthew Dickies and just opened this up for diversity's sake for both little girls and color?
Well, the
and
nice...
it would help pay for the upkeep of the field and uniforms and make this more harmonious.
Well, that's what the Cardinals do.
Yeah. So the nice thing is the Cardinals actually supply all of the equipment. So the kids don't have to buy a glove. They don't have to buy a bat, balls, any of that stuff. That's all supplied by the Cardinals. Matthews Dickey actually has its own Redbird Rookies program that it runs. And while we haven't coordinated with them because they sort of play with a different group, really the city giving us access to the fields is the only thing that might normally cost money that we can't provide. We do our own umpiring. We don't, the coaches don't get paid, obviously. They supply us uniforms. So the cost is supposed to be for free. And that's really our goal, is to make sure that we cover as many people in U-City of any ethnicity, any socioeconomic background, and any gender that wants to come and play baseball.
Well, I would not mind volunteering for this because I am a former softball player. But just helping out with little boys, that would be sort of out of my league. But little girls, I would be glad to help.
And listen, we will take anybody, even just to come out and help from time to time. So we'd love the help.
I'd just like to say that at our March 2nd meeting, when we talked about baseball, the predominant number of boys in that league are white. I would say 99%. And the advantage of the Redbird Rookies is that it allows students of color to participate. So I think this is a great program. I'd really like to see it go forward. Any more comments or action or the things up in terms of Redbird Rookies? Moving on, the budget report. So we've got the complete budget. Darren, you want to at least get us started on that?
This is more of a FYI. I wanted to share the information. This was information that was shared with the council at the last meeting that the finance director shared the second quarter report. I know we've done this in the past, so I just wanted to share that information along to you for your review.
I have a question that, and it relates to capital improvements projects, and because I see on the capital outlay for the golf course, there's $100,000, which I think originally was put in for the lights. But what is the status of fixing the driving range, and is that where that money would come out of that capital outlay?
Well, basically, the $100,000 in the current year's budget was $50,000 of it was earmarked to go towards the replacement and the fixing of the netting. The other $50,000 was earmarked for the replacement of the parking lot. That's this year's fiscal year budget. We are asking for the repair of the driving range as one that you guys have identified and as part of your park priorities, as well as staff identify as park priorities, is for the fiscal year 22 capital improvement project for the golf course.
So, essentially, we're going to have to live with the ruts in the driving range. Basically, is what
at this time says funds do not exist at the current time to repair that. That's why it is asked as one of our top priorities for fiscal year 22.
As I recall, that was over $100,000 too, wasn't it?
It's about $262,000, somewhere in that ballpark.
Right. Right. And that doesn't qualify for a county grant. Is that correct?
Because it's a property. I do not see that would be one that they would award, since funds for the driving range were originally given through a grant. And part of that, it's our responsibility for the upkeep from the fund.
Okay. Is there any comments you want to make, Darren, on the budget? Any additional ones? And do people have any questions?
No, I do not have any additional comments. I just wanted to bring that forward, just for information purposes.
I just have a question on this enterprise zone thing. How does that actually work? Like, I see a transfer of money to general fund. You can do that if you're an enterprise zone?
Yes. Basically, our golf course is the only part of our operations from a park standpoint that's an enterprise fund. Basically, what that means is that all the funds that are collected through fees at the use of the golf course goes back into the golf course. What you're talking about there is a transfer of funds. It goes back to the general fund, and that is primarily for a loan that was given whenever the enterprise fund was established, the $500,000, and that we are repaying that loan.
Okay, so that's a loan repayment thing.
Yes, it's a loan payment.
How long is the loan on Centennial Commons, or where are we at with that financial?
My understanding is that we have closed out that loan.
It has closed out, so that's money in the till now.
Yeah, that is my understanding.
Right. Are there any
other... ask something, Carl?
Go ahead.
Oh, just looking over this report, I would just ask if Darren thinks there's anything on here in particular that we as the Parks Commission should be concerned about or aware of that nobody has brought up.
No, I don't think there's anything particular or shattering on it. You know, the golf course revenues are up, like I reported earlier. You know, if you look at it, you're going to see Centennial Commons, that there's revenue not coming in because we have been shut down for a year, but that's expected. But other than that, I don't see anything earth-shattering. One of the things that the city manager stated the other night was that after reviewing the budget after the second quarter, we look to be in a little better shape than what they anticipated. So some of the capital improvement projects that have been placed on hold, he will look at those on a case-by-case basis and looking to take some of those projects off hold. So that we can move forward with that. But I'm not for sure which one, if any of those in the parks. We only have a few that are on hold. And I'll be meeting with the city manager this week to find out if any of those would qualify to move forward with.
If this new stimulus bill ends up sending any money our way as a city, is there anything that the city has in, you know, like, targeted for that? Because they are saying they're going to give money to local and state governments.
I know that we've already received CARES funding, and I believe all of it, if not most of it, has all gone to public safety to reimburse fire and police for expenditures, and I'm not aware any future funds or what the amount of those funds, what they would be earmarked or used for at this point.
Steve, do you know anything about that?
We haven't, you know, the new package that was passed, we haven't seen any numbers that the city manager has brought to us of estimates of what could be coming in. So we haven't discussed any allocations of that. And the old CARE Act money that came in, it was basically, I mean, it was funding things that had related to your COVID expenditures. So those were the things it was directed at mostly. So I don't know about anything new. I don't know yet. We haven't heard a word what the allocation would be, what size it is, and then how we would distribute it.
Okay. We have some ideas if you want to, when you get ready to distribute it.
I'm putting Trout Stream up there.
No, that's not one thing.
Since Centennial Commons was really affected by COVID, you would think that maybe some of the expenses of bringing it back online might be appropriate if money comes through.
Yeah, or like Lisa was saying, ventilation, or, I mean, there could be lots of things. There's always ways to discuss it. So yeah, we just don't know if there's a number coming in, what it is, and so where would it go? I think every program in the city would certainly be put in the mix and we discuss it.
Okay. Any other comments or questions on the quarterly report, budget report? Commission comments, anybody have any additional comments? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I will move to adjourn.
A second.
Been moved? Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Thank you very much. And you're going to send out that thing, right, Steve? Here.